You're listening to Turk Showtimes Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
And a nickel package on the back. Thompson to Gurley. Down the sideline point. Here's it out. Drops it in the bucket. Kenny Britt is gone. Touchdown to Gurley. Gurley extending to the goal line. Touchdown. Todd Gurley. That puts him at 1,000 yards on the button in his rookie season.
And now, here's your host.
Hello, everybody. Josh Webb here, a.k.a. Fight on Twist, with a Turf Showtime radio interview with good old Joe Curley of the Ventura County Star. Joe currently covers the Rams for the Star, but if you want a little bit about his biography, this is a guy who's been a sports reporter around 16 years. He covered USC and UCLA, which... Look, when you're on that beat, you normally only get one of the two because of how hellacious they are. And Joe covered the both of them from 2000 to 2010, which means that he got the end of the Paul Hackett era, the beginning of the Carroll era, the end of the Carroll era, the Kiffin era, and you also got the Pistol Rick era. At UCLA, which was fantastic. I love the new Heisel era. But you've also covered the World Cup in Germany for Star, which is pretty damn cool, and six BCS national title games. I'm reasonably sure there's no team in Los Angeles that you haven't covered. So it's safe to say that you have your pulse on LA sports.
Well, I've been here since college and up in Ventura County, which is a little bit north of L.A. So we go down into L.A. to, cover the big things. And it's really a game changer that, to have a team like the Rams, to have not only a professional sports team, but to have an NFL team, with its day-to-day operations inside Los Angeles. So the Rams coming back to Los Angeles, back to Southern California was a big deal, but the fact that they're settling within the boundaries of Ventura County is just a game changer for Ventura County, which is, why folks up here are so excited.
And, it's not just folks, obviously, in Ventura, although, that's your beat, which is why you're obviously speaking about it as well as it being the headquarters. But I want to ask you a question that I know I'm going to ask you on another interview, but I kind of feel like you opened the door for it, and we've been bantering a lot about this back and forth among writers in Slack, which is sort of SB Nation's, it's how we communicate with each other off the grid, and we've been discussing this amongst ourselves, but how do you see the community reacting to the return of the Rams? You probably got that micro, view with Ventura obviously being really excited because you get the home base headquarters there. So that's always a plus. But the Rams have also jumped. I don't think it took them any time at all to jump into the community service aspect of things. Right. And you could, and while they were heavy on that in St. Louis, this isn't a change. You could definitely look at some of the major things they've done since coming back. Like, let's be clear, they are in the business of doing charitable work. But when you return back home after having left a fan base for as long as they did, there's an element of trying to win people back. And it would be disingenuous if we didn't say that.
It's certainly a unique situation. It's an interesting situation. It's, to have not just have a team move into a new area, but to have a team return you know, I mean, Los Angeles, let's be honest, Los Angeles is full of teams that have arrived here from and have history. You know, you're talking about Los Angeles having the Dodgers and the Lakers and the original Rams, you know, coming from other places. But to have this situation where you've had all these insanely loyal fans who have waited decades, who have aged, who have, you know, attempted to hand down the Rams fandom to, you know, the next generation, and, you know, had their children look at them like, why would I root for the Rams? They're in St. Louis, and you know, I'm gonna attach to this. I'm gonna be like all these other LA fans that, you know, you just kind of gravitate to whoever you associate with. And it's been fascinating to kind of learn to meet some of these fans. We have some of these super fans in Ventura County who have reached out via social media and have talked about seeing their photos and how excited they are and how just insane it has to be for your heart to get ripped out, you know, when you're, you know, in the mid-90s, and to have this happen, it's got to be just a surreal experience. So that's part of this year, I think, is, and part of the reason, you know, I've changed my job to cover the Rams, is that this is such a unique situation and such a, you know, it's such an emotional situation for our readers and for, you know, Southern California fans in general. And obviously, you know, that the social app, the outreach aspect of what the Rams are doing, you know, they're reintroducing themselves to the market. They're getting out and kind of, you know, letting people know that they're here. And I think a lot of people, you know, the non-hardcore Rams fans, I think it's surreal, or even, you know, it hasn't really even happened yet because the season's not here and training camp's not here. I think it's going to be developing throughout the season to see them, you know, how the market responds to the team and how, and, you know, not just on, like Kevin Dumas says, not just on Sundays, but also every day of the year.
Yeah, and you know, you brought up that point of you know, sort of guys that have been loyal, diehard fans for years and years and years. It's going to be interesting to see some of those reactions. They say you can never truly go home. We're about to find out with the Rams.
Yeah. It's a good call. I mean, but the other thing about it is I look at it as a different team. You know, obviously.
Yeah, it's a different era.
A team is an ownership group. So when the Rams come back with a different ownership group, it's not the same as if the same ownership group moved away and moved back, because a lot of the ill will is associated with that former ownership group. So you're talking about this new group that has come back and in their eyes has saved that fixed that wrong or made it right. And I think that's kind of an interesting part of this too.
You would think that would be what people would use as sort of their measurement stick for, okay, how angry do I need to be at this situation? But when it comes to sports fans, some of them they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And, you know, it's like, oh, F the Rams. They left me years ago. I gave up on them. I'm a this fan now, and I'm never going back. And it's just, I wonder how much of that's going to, like, obviously they're not going to they're not going to be like Croatian supporters going to games trying to get their team disqualified or anything. But what I'm curious about is how many of them are going to, like, come out fronting that way in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, you know, as the Rams start to come back in the community, like they dust off their old jacket one time. And then it's the shirt. And then before you know it, like all of a sudden they stop caring about that other team they supposedly loved. And they're back at wherever, you know, whatever the field's called then, because it won't be at the Coliseum, you know, with their Rams season tickets, pretending like they didn't have that 10-year period they were a Cowboys fan or something. I'm just curious about those dudes.
It's interesting. I've seen some of it. I've seen some of our local fans who, if you scroll through their Twitter feed, and, you know, they will have talked about the Packers or talked about the Cowboys or talked about, and then the Rams come home and it's a shame. This is what LA football has been for 20 years. It is a different type of fandom. So,
well, let's get to the football then. How, in your view, has the guy that everybody is expecting to deliver this franchise into the next generation, Mr. Jared Goff, how would you rate his progression? We know that Keenum's number one coming out of the spring. I think anybody with a brain should have expected that. He's the guy with the most NFL experience. Like, just because Goff's the number one pick does not mean you automatically get the number one spot. He's going to have to earn it, and a lot of it, I assume, is probably going to dictate on how he does in the fall. So given that, how close do you think this competition really is, and how has he done with it so far?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a rookie quarterback who's, you know, only been a pro for a couple months. And so, you know, who's basically everything is new and you know, so how he's progressed. I mean, there's a lot of talk from Coach Fisher and Goff himself. And there was a lot of that.
I just want to stop you. You're okay. Cutting out a little. So I've only got like part of that first one is there a way you could start over again?
Sure.
It was cutting out like there was bad reception or something.
Let me, I'm on three bars. I'm dealing with I'm wearing like the Apple headphones. Let me hold the thing closer to my mouth.
That might be it.
Is this better, do you think?
Yeah.
I'll hold the thing in my mouth and stop, you know, again, if we get bad reception, stop me.
Actually, it makes sense because I wear that and sometimes people say I'm cutting in and out too, so that would totally make sense. All right.
I'll hold the mic part to my mouth, and if it keeps screwing up, what I'll do is I'll unplug it and just use the phone as the phone. So.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because I know how painful these damn things can be to lug around.
So, you know, anyway, there was a lot of talk, you know, during OTAs about, you know, a lot of questions and a lot of answers about progression. And, a lot of that's, you know, and how far he's come and all this stuff. But it's only been a couple months. He's only been a pro for just a sliver of a time period. And so I think everything is new. So certainly, you know, there's just a lot to learn and a lot to, I think that the most honest answer we got, I think, was from Wes Snead, where he was talking about the whole rookie group, and he was talking about how, you know, they look like rookies. They're processing everything in their mind and still thinking, and they haven't reached the place where they're really, you know, really can play freely yet. And I think that's, you know, you have to kind of, when you watch Jared, you have to kind of give him that. You know, watching with my own eyes in OTAs, he looked like a rookie. He was good for a drop snap here and there. He was good for a couple picks every day, you know. But what I liked and what I saw was that you never saw him frustrated. You always saw him battle back and compete. And then there were some glimmers
specifically that one day, I think he threw like four or five interceptions.
Not a game, you know, these are drills.
Who cares about like that for the long term? I'm curious, how did he respond to that day?
What was the mental response? Yeah, that exact day ended with him, you know, after I don't think we really reported it, but I really think it was back to back pick sixes, same DB. It might have even been Sensabaugh. It might have been the same guy. And, you know, DB. It might have been the same play. I mean, really. But like the end of that whole period was, you know, a really nice back of the end zone touchdown throw and a step up into pressure, through pressure, to run in a touchdown. So I mean he responded. There was one in the middle of camp. Just a really spectacular, you know, like 35-yard touchdown laser, like in the back of the end zone. I think it was to one of the rookies. But, I mean, I'm trying to think of who it was. But it was just an unbelievable. That's the play. When I think of OTAs, the one play that stands out is just, he would make a mistake and step back and fire and come back. And you saw a lot of that at Cal. You know, he wasn't, you know, totally perfect playing on a team that, you know, was, you know, fighting like heck to get its head above water. And that's one thing he has a lot of experience in, is bouncing back from issues. And so I think he's going to be pretty, you know, you certainly see the confidence, you certainly see the talent, but I think he's going to be pretty tough, and he's going to have to be as this team matures.
Yeah, and that's, you know, how do you view him as the answer to the future? You know, is this something that Goff, because everything you hear about him, and especially you look at the way he answered questions to the media following OTAs, there was very much a presence about him that suggested, okay, at the very minimum, he's got down this idea of being a number one quarterback in an interview. I mean, that's only but one component of many of hundreds of components that will go to make a successful NFL quarterback. But on the field, through the growing pains and with what Fish, you know, we're hearing will be extended, so you assume then that he would oversee the most critical years of Goff's development. Is this a guy who can get that leadership under Fisher and become the future of the Rams?
Well, I mean, they're certainly staking everything on it. I mean, I have to, you know, I should start out by saying that before the Rams moved, before any of this was a glimmer on the horizon, when I was just watching the Pac-12 last year, I liked Jared Goff as a potential top pick and a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I liked what I saw. I saw potential, and you know, I'm no quarterback guru, but you could see it. And, you know, you see why the Rams made this move. You know what it means in this league to have a top quarterback. Rams fans understand because they had Kurt Warner, and then they've seen what they've had at the position since he left. I thought that what really made the trade fascinating to me was you're giving up your first pick the season after you relocate like they did. I mean, if you look at NFL history, the Colts and Ravens won 4 games in their first seasons in Indy and Baltimore. The Ravens, or the Rams themselves, won 7 their first year in St. Louis. The Cardinals, Titans, and Raiders, well, I think it was 8. They were 8-8 in the first years in Phoenix, Nashville, and then and the second time in Oakland. I haven't really exhausted all the research, but 2 of the 3 examples of a winning season from a relocated NFL franchise I found came in L.A. The Raiders were 8-1 during the strike season in 82, but that was, you know, they were a legit team back then that had just won a Super Bowl and was about to win another one. And the Rams go back in 46 when they came from Cleveland, were 6-4-1. So, you know, I saw it as a gamble because that's a valuable pick, but one that Fisher and Snead felt they had to make to carry the team forward. There's a lot said about making a splash in this market after the move, you know, to say, hey, we're here, we're the Rams, and we're the Los Angeles Rams again. But I saw it more as a move that you have to make in the NFL to win. So I see it. But, you know, one thing the fan base needs to be reminded of is this is a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks, especially pocket passers in this league, you know, take some time. I mean, Steve DeBerg started ahead of Joe Montana and John Elway. Peyton Manning threw 28 picks as a rookie, lost 13 games. You know, obviously Tom Brady is a different situation. We didn't see him till what, the second or third year. So, you know, rookie quarterbacks are exasperating. So I'm going into the season looking at Jared Goff with a low bar, especially when you look at his receiving weapons.
Yeah, and one of the things that
there.
I wasn't sure how to use it in there, but you talk about Kurt Warner in there. Now, one of the things that Kurt Warner was known for was his mentorship. I mean, this is a guy who really embraced what it meant to be a part of the team. I'm curious, has there been somebody, Rams organization, with whom Goff has developed that sort of mentor-mentee relationship, positionally or otherwise?
Well, I mean, you can see that there's a building rapport with Case. I mean, they both talk about each other in a positive manner and bring each other up when they're interviewed. And you also see what the Rams have done to reconnect him, or to reconnect the franchise with alumni, but to reconnect, to connect him with the old quarterbacks. I mean, you got to recognize the Rams have this great tradition of passers going back to Van Brocklin and Gabriel. And it was really cool when Jim Everett and Ferragamo came out to the draft, you know, when they draft their new quarterback. So, and then you see Kurt Warner at, you see Warner at OTAs. So there's potential for, you know, that Rams quarterback fraternity to be kind of welcoming another pledge. I mean, I think that's kind of been one of the cooler aspects of the offseason, you know, post-draft, was to see these guys and to see, you know, how Jared responded to them and met them and how they were, you know, kind of around. Because I think it, the Rams' history as a passing team is kind of, you know, it gets forgotten because maybe the last 10 years. But there's a lot of tradition of throwing the ball up going back to when they first got to L.A.
Switching gears for a second and moving to the defense, the Rams made a couple of acquisitions on the defensive side of the ball this offseason. Obviously, you mentioned one earlier in Cody Sensabaugh, but one of the other ones was acquiring Quentin Coples from the New York Jets. And I know myself and Cam have talked about Coples on our podcast, The Flipping Tables. And Cam really believes that Coples now more than ever is set up for success, whereas in the scheme the Jets used, he was grossly out of place. This current setup is going to be more geared to what he does, and with him on there and Robert Quinn, you expect that would then start to free things up, or maybe vice versa. With Aaron Donald eating up space, maybe it frees up things for a guy like Quinn or Coples. How do you feel like he's going to fit in on that defensive line? Because it's one of the more terrifying in the league.
Oh, I mean, I know the Rams are really excited for both new additions. I interviewed Mike Waffle, the defensive line coach. He told me that Coples is, quote, a cookie-cutter left end with his hand in the ground. They were really excited about what he could bring to this group. But there's not a lot that you could bring in to improve it, but you're talking about elite depth. You're talking about Coples at the left end. You're talking about Dominique Easley, they said, to be the perfect backup to Aaron Donald. You know, Waffle sees Easley as a much better fit with the Rams at that three technique than how the Patriots used him. If he signed the Patriots last year, Easley was really effective in New England when he was healthy. So, you know, the Rams may have one of the best running backs in the league. They may have a quarterback drafted number one overall, but the strength of this team is that defensive front, especially the line. And it may be even better this year because it's just so deep.
Yeah. And I'm curious, what kind of production, I mean, when you set the bar, obviously you look at what some defenses have been able to do with, and I'm not suggesting that Goff's going to go out there and win a Super Bowl, but you look at a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who in his, I think, you know, sophomore or I think his freshman season ended up going 15-1, I believe. As a starter, they obviously lost in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, they got beat at home. Yep.
Yeah, but you look at how that defense was able to carry Ben Roethlisberger, and even in the Super Bowl when they finally did make it, you know, he posted, I think his passer rating was like some BS, like a 13.9. It was like the most miserable passer rating you've ever seen in Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it was a record, actually, and still may be.
I think it was.
But you look at that defense and say, that thing was able to carry him. What are we looking at when we look at this defense? Are we looking at something that if they get basic competent play, if Goff can grow week to week to week to week and you can get that growth out of him, is this a team that can be, I'm not going to say run deep into the playoffs, I will say better than the experts and many people are predicting?
Well, I mean, when you bring it up to them, you know, they say, hey, you know, you're talking about a Super Bowl from 10 years ago or whatever, but they say, look at last Super Bowl. I mean, the Broncos won the Super Bowl last year with an inept quarterback. Peyton Manning was not good in the playoffs, and they did not need him because that defense was so dominating. And it was just that's what they look at. When you ask these Rams defensive linemen, they say, hey, you know, that's what we want to do. And, you know, but certainly when you look at it from the big picture, you know, the blueprint for this team winning is the defense keeping them in game. That's what they're going to be this year. The defense is going to keep them in the games. And the real question is going to be whether or not there's enough offense to win them. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing throughout the year with just an absolutely brutal schedule. I mean, when you look at the way the schedule sets up, I mean, when you look at all the off-season distractions, when you look at the schedule, you know, when you look at the way the games line up and when they come, I mean, there's a lot of hurdles. But the one thing they can kind of sit back on and hang their head on is that defensive front. And as long as the secondary, you know, is as good as they hope, you know, it doesn't let down, I think the defense is going to be good enough to keep them in games, and it's just going to be about whether or not, you know, the offense can score enough points.
Well, one person who won't be there this year, captaining, quarterbacking, basically being the locker room leader and on-the-field leader, James Laurinaitis, are you looking at a guy like Mark Barron or Alec Ogletree to replace him as the leader, or can Aaron Donald do this while being a defensive lineman? Can he sort of take charge of that defense, or do you need that to come from the linebacking group? Do we need one of those guys to step up and accept that role?
Well, you know, we know this is a young team, and I haven't been around this team very long. I mean, there hasn't been a locker room for us to go in yet. You know, losing Laurinaitis and Long were one of the stories of OTAs. It was, you know, we know it's going to represent some adjustment. It's definitely one of the stories to watch during camp and into the season. From being around the team in OTAs, I know William Hayes is kind of the vocal leader of that line. Alec Ogletree, with his, you know, his move over, said he was making the adjustment to flying with the green dot and all the responsibilities that come with it, which include leadership. We asked Greg Williams, you know, about that void, and he didn't think it was an issue. He said that there was a lot of leadership in that locker room, a lot of leadership in the defensive side of the ball. That I think the term he used was a lot of voices on that side of the ball. So they didn't seem, you know, every time that we asked that question, it wasn't even like they addressed it and brushed it off. They didn't even seem worried about it. So, you know, so I think going forward, that may be something that's kind of asked and answered in training camp and in the first part of the season, and we move on.
And that's fair enough. The only concern that I'd have, which you kind of ameliorated, was that if there are too many voices, then sometimes I think that the instruction can get lost because you're not sure who you're supposed to be paying attention to. So that's my worry about having too many voices. You do, come game day, you kind of want to have central guys that are meant to relay things. Otherwise, you run the risk of having people telling one guy to do two different things. And yeah, that's when things start going wrong on defense.
Sure. I do think that interesting about Donald, and we asked one of the questions that Gurley was asked when he did one of his stand-ups was, you know, about that leadership void does he see himself as a leader? And I, you know, it's interesting that, you know, the two of the biggest stars on the team, and I think they see themselves, maybe I shouldn't speak for them, but it seems like when they answered questions that it was like, you know, I'm a leader on the field, I'm a producer, and it didn't seem, you know, when William Hayes says, hey, I'm a leader on this team, I talk, that's my mantle, that's my role. And I think maybe it's too much to ask of your star of stars who maybe aren't a quarterback to, you know, to produce and to be the vocal leader. I mean, it's maybe it's good to have some of your secondary guys be the guys who, you know, are the rah-rah guys, or however you want to define leadership. So that's, you know, in just my, you know, month or two around the team, I think that's what I've kind of gathered, is that, you know, the leadership guys on this team are, even though it's a really young team, or maybe some of the other guys.
Well, that about covers what I had today, my man. So what I want to give you a chance to do right now is talk about anything that you may have coming up, or if you recently written something that you're really proud of and want to give a shout to at least, now's that time to do so. And I also always urge people to use this time to mention their social media accounts, so that way people who have any questions or maybe like that they heard today can follow up with you on Twitter, social media.
Sure, you can follow at BCS Joe Curley. That's basically at Ventura County Star. Joe, and that's what the VCS is there for. So at VCS Joe Curley, we're going pretty good on Twitter. I think I started one on Instagram, but haven't really put anything up there yet. Probably will get to Snapchat at some point. And in terms of coverage, I mean, we had a great Kevin Demoff came out and gave a talk at the Chamber of Commerce at the Caneo Valley, talking about you know, the Rams moving into the community. If you really, you know, if you're interested in seeing how the team is kind of settling into this new community, there's two stories. There's one where Demoff spoke at that event, and there's another. We did a huge feature that I basically spent the entire OTAs reporting, and it jumped last week. It was one of our biggest stories of certainly sports' biggest stories of the year. And the title of it is Rams, the Rams Next Door. We did it was really cool. You know, just talking to all the players about basically what we did was through the OTAs. Every time I interviewed somebody, I asked them the same three questions about the move, about what they thought of the new area, and you know, where they're kind of settling in. So we gathered as much of that as possible and kind of put the best of it together. And it ran on the front page on Sunday, this past Sunday. So that was a pretty cool thing. We had a really cool photos in that too, so check it out. I think it's actually pinned to the top of our Twitter account, so at VCS Joe Curley. And I appreciate it, man. The Turf Show Times has been very nice. You know, as we kind of, it's interesting, you know, the team has moved and the fans are learning the team, but obviously the local media is learning the team too. So we've been you know, I went and I've watched last season and try to figure out, you know, who all these guys are. We're kind of learning a lot, like the LA, you know, sports fan himself.
Hey, it's going to be an interesting process for all of us. I mean, this is my first time covering an NFL team. I did college for so long and mixed martial arts. So, you know, there's a learning curve, I think, for all of us. And I'm just as excited to get down to business, as they say, as you are, man. So if you're not following Joe, give him a follow. You can catch me on Twitter at FightOnTwist. We will be doing a lot more of these things in the future, as Turf Show Times Radio has returned, and we got it returned with a thunder. So look forward to more of these in the future, as well as your Showtime Radio podcast. I'm Josh Webb, and we'll be back next time here on TSK Radio.